strategically, lovingly, skillfully teach our kids the Word of God week in and week out. So thankful for them. We're in Psalm 134 today. It is on the front of your song sheet if you want to follow along on the front of your song sheet or in your copy of the Word of God, Psalm 134. Before we jump into Psalm 134, though, I just want to let you know what is coming up. Next week, we're starting a three-week series called God's Truth About Sex. So not my truth, not your truth, but God's truth about sex. That's next week. Today, though, we're talking about happy endings. Do you believe in happy endings? So, a couple happy endings I've experienced. High school graduation. So, for our oldest, went to the high school graduation, and then for Titus as well, high school graduation. And I don't remember high school graduation being that awesome, but I remember just for them, it was as a dad, it was so fun and so awesome, especially after high school graduation. All the pictures we took, all the just it was so much joy. Like, you've been on this journey together, like as parents, but also as students through all these years. You come to the final climax, and you get to graduation, and it is such a joyful, beautiful, wonderful time of celebration. And then you got to figure out what comes next, right? There's kind of a but there's something that has, you got to figure out the next step. You got to get a job. You got to go to college. You got to do whatever the next step is. Happy endings. Another happy ending we've experienced recently would be a wedding. So, you know, I don't know if I thought about it that much, but there's all that season of dating, and then there's all the planning that goes into the wedding. There's the long wait, there's the courtship, and then all of a sudden you get there, and you get married, and it is just this awesome, fantastic, wonderful celebration. It's just, you know, it kind of comes at the end of the long courtship and the all the dating and the planning, and then you have the ceremony, and it's just, it's a happy ending. And then you got to figure out how to live married. And then you have to get a haircut and a real job and be adults. I think of pregnancies, right? So you have the 9 months of waiting and expecting and hoping and longing and praying. And then there's a healthy, beautiful birth. And it's such a magnificent time to hold the baby, and it's a happy ending to that long pregnancy. And then you never sleep again. I mean, I did, but Cheyenne didn't. We're talking about happy endings. This is a happy ending. Psalm 134 is a happy ending. It's the end of the Psalms of Ascent. So the Psalms of Ascent start in Psalm 120, and they go to 134, and it's a happy ending. And I think this happy ending points forward to the happy ending that you don't have to qualify. That you don't have to say, and then this other thing comes next that you have to figure out. It points forward to a better and a more lasting happy ending. So before we read, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would meet us in this text, and Lord, that you would unburden some. Lord, that you would free others. Lord, that you would fill the sad with joy and the depressed with levity. Lord, that you would help us glory in you and find our joy in you. Lord, stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. Talk over me while I talk to them. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are in Psalm 134, a psalm of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. So probably the priests were standing in the house of the Lord during the festivals, praising God and giving thanks all night long. So come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? I mean, I understand what it means for God to bless us. Like, he gives us life and health. He gives us enough to eat. He gives us enough to drink. I understand what it means for God to bless us. I understand what it means for me to bless Cheyenne. Just like, I just got to buy her cool stuff. Like, it's just how I understand that. But like, what does it mean for us to bless God? Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. And may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. I understand what it means for God to bless us, and certainly that's where the cycle starts, the cycle of blessing, as the Lord blesses us and then we bless the Lord. But I think when we bless the Lord, I think what we have to offer is what we sang. Is what we have to offer the Lord is gratitude, is thanksgiving, and praise. That's how we bless the Lord, with thanksgiving and praise. We'll talk about why to do that in a little bit, but first, where I'd like to start is where the beginning is. It's kind of where the psalm ends, but the Lord's blessing is where we have to start. So verse 3, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. What you have to remember is this is the final psalm of ascent. So the psalms have talked about and led up to this point about how God has blessed us. So if you think about where you are today, what has the Lord brought you through to get you here today? As you look back on your life, how has the Lord blessed you and kept you up to this point? Can you think of specific times that you like you didn't know if you're going to make it, or you didn't know how you were going to get through it? Can you think of a really dark, hard, painful season that the Lord has brought you through? Can you think of times when your sorrow was so deep you didn't know if it would ever end, and then somehow the Lord turned it to joy? Can you think of what the Lord has brought you through? So let's talk about how God has blessed us. So if we were taking notes, some of you are taking notes for camp scholarships, like the first thing, 40-point font, God blesses us. So as we look back at how the Lord has blessed us, let's look at some of these psalms. So we're on Psalm 134, but we're looking back at Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. We talked about how the Lord has blessed us with a church family. How we're just so thankful to be part of the church and the church family. Then in Psalm 130, I mean, we could talk about all of these psalms, but I just picked out a couple highlights. In Psalm 130, verse 1, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. And you just think back of times when you were maybe stuck in your sin, stuck in guilt and shame, and thought there was no way out. And then you think of how the Lord has rescued you and had mercy on you, how he forgave you and freed you. You can just say, man, that God blessed me with forgiveness and freedom. Psalm 129, you think of childhood wounds. Do you have any wounds from your childhood? It seems like wounds from our childhood stay with us the longest. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Oh, the Lord has brought us through even our childhood wounds. You think of times when you've been without sleep, and times when you've been restless, and times when things have come very difficult, seasons full of anxiety. And you think of Psalm 127, verse 2, that says, in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. He gives us deep, unmedicated sleep. You think of how the Lord has blessed you. Hey, I have two more I'm going to read to you, but I ask you, like, how has the Lord blessed you? I'm going to ask you when we get to point one in just a minute to tell the person sitting next to you three ways the Lord has blessed you. So we're not there yet, but when we get to point one, I'm going to ask you three ways the Lord has blessed you. Three specific things. So you can't say family, because that's not specific. You have to say who in your family or why you're listing them in your family. So very specific, three very specific blessings the Lord has given you. Another blessing we see that the Lord, as the Lord has brought us through, and you see the Lord's blessings in the Psalm of Ascent, is 126 verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap shouts of joy. And I remember preaching on this, and I remember just like fighting back the tears, even though I'm like, I know I shouldn't do that, but like fighting back the tears, talking about Justice's death, and then talking about the joy of Caleb's wedding, and just saying how those two are related. Like the depth of sorrow led to the depth of joy, and they're related. And you just see how the Lord has brought you through different seasons of sorrow to bring you into different seasons of joy. The Lord has blessed us. He's brought us through stuff. Or the Lord has protected us. You think back on your life, and you think of how the Lord has protected you through different seasons. Psalm 125 verse 2 says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. If you think of seasons where you almost lost your faith, seasons where you're full of doubt, seasons where you just thought you might walk away, and you think of how the Lord has protected you. I mean, the Lord blesses us. So this is the big truth about God that you anchor your soul to, is the Lord blesses us. Okay, so what should we do? Well, from this text, it's pretty clear what we should do is we should bless the Lord, which means praise the Lord, which means give him thanks. So my first question is, why should we do that? Why should we do that? So when we lived in Kentwood, I used to take our cars to a guy named Jeff to fix. And so I'm talking with Jeff as we do the final bill after he fixed our car. And I say, yeah, you know, I needed my car, so we're going to drive up Petoskey. He's like, oh, Petoskey, I love Petoskey. We were up there for a mountain bike race not too long ago, and, you know, I like to race. So I'm just asking, like, well, what kind of a mountain bike race? He's like, well, you start at the top of Boyne Mountain, and then you race down it. That's crazy. So he's got this souped up awesome mountain bike. It's not him, but it's his kids, which I don't know if that makes it better or worse, but he's got to deal with his wife, not me. So they race their mountain bikes down Boyne Mountain, and he's like, I don't remember if it was his kid or if it was somebody else, but somebody has this terrible crash, and they're like, they like dislocate their shoulder. Like they're just like walking like this. And they're walking to the elevator or something. Anyway, they come up, and there are these three women standing there holding beer. And they're all, and so one of the women is like, well, what'd you do? And like, well, you know, I crashed, and kind of explains what happened. And the woman hands her beer to the other lady, and she's like, oh, what's going on over there? And the guy looks over there, and she grabs his arm and just yanks. He's like, Oh, thank you. Turns out it was a doctor's convention at Point Mountain, and there were three doctors, you know, hold my beer, I'm going to put this guy back into place, and surprise! He was, listen, this is why I tell you the story. He was bent out of shape. Ever been bent out of shape? I have. I remember going through, and I've told you this before, I think, but I remember going through a really, really stressful season at our former church. And I was afraid the church was going to split. I had to make some really hard decisions that I knew were going to hurt a lot of feelings, make some people really mad, but I just felt like I had to do it. Before God, I felt like I had to, and the Lord brought us through. He kept the church together. We got all the way through that season, and then we went on vacation. And on vacation, I realized, you know, Cheyenne helped me realize, I was tight, anxious, angry, depressed, a real peach to be around. And I was like, why am I so mad? You know, like, how do I stop being mad? I'm so depressed. How do I stop being depressed? I was miserable and miserable to be around. I was bent out of shape. And I didn't know what to do. And I don't know why, but and I don't know where I got it from, but I think it was from my counseling courses earlier. I kind of came to the conclusion what I need to do is give thanks. And so I started every day with writing down 20 specific things that I could be thankful for, that God had blessed us with. 20. And I just, like, every day, 20 different things that I could be thankful for. And, you know, the Lord restored joy to my life. It was like the Lord, you know, put me back in place. It was like going to the chiropractor or the doctor and having them kind of take you and put you back so you're realigned. Because we were made to bless God. We were made to give thanks and praise to God. We were made for that. So in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is talking about how the nations who don't have the Bible, they don't have the Scriptures, they know there's a God. Like, you don't even need the Bible to know there's a Creator. They know there's a God, but he says they're under condemnation because they did not honor God as God or give thanks. Romans 1:21. See, we were made to honor God as God and give thanks. You're made for that. So when you're not doing that, you are bent out of shape. I was bent inward, like looking at how mad and how frustrated and how depressed and how angry I was. I was bent outward, looking at my circumstances and how frustrating they were. The one thing I was not was aligned with the Lord, giving thanks. So, what we said, big picture about God is God blesses us. So, why do we give thanks? Well, number one, we give thanks because we're made to give thanks. We bless God because we're made to bless God. So, we bless God because we're made to bless God. That's number one. Number one, we bless God because we're made to bless God. So, why don't you turn to the person next to you? Like, we can't just have a sermon about blessing God and then never bless God. So, why don't you turn to the person sitting next to you and say three specific things that you can be thankful for. Three specific things you can be thankful for. Go ahead. All right, about 30 seconds and we'll pick it back up. All right, I'm going to read back through the psalm again, kind of do a reset. Remember we said, God blesses us, so we bless God. God blesses us, so we bless God. Now, why do we bless God? Well, because we're made to bless God. Number two, how do we bless God? So we read in Psalm 134, come, bless the Lord, all of you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, who made heaven and earth. Why does this say that we bless the Lord? Well, we stand in the house of the Lord and we lift up our hands and bless the Lord. Two things about posture there. We stand and we lift up our hands and we bless. Now, I come from circles, and maybe you do too, where lifting up your hands in worship is illegal. Not 1,000,000% sure why, but it's illegal. But it's in the Bible. So we're going to make sure you know it's okay because it's in the Bible. Lift up your hands. That's what it says. To the holy place and bless the Lord. Now, couple things here. I think we have real pushbacks against this because we're like, well, I don't want to draw attention away from the Lord. Well, because, so what you're saying when you say that is, I'm thinking about the people around me. Well, you could just think about the Lord and lift up your hands to the Lord. You could do that. Other times we think, well, my body doesn't matter. I'm just a floating mind, like walking around, floating. Not walking, but floating. I'm just a mind. Well, there is such a thing as a mind-body connection. So I watched a TED Talk one time about how different postures either increase or decrease our testosterone levels. So this lady was recommending power poses. So if you get big and out wide, you can increase testosterone. If you're in the fetal position, you decrease testosterone. And she's talking about using this before interviews. And you like go into the bathroom, do the power pose, then you go in. Like, I don't know about that, but I do believe that posture matters. So like when we kneel, like that does something to our hearts when we kneel. Do you agree with that? When we kneel, it does something to our hearts. When we stand up and get big, like that does something inside us, doesn't it? Could it be that if we lifted our hands, that could do something for our hearts? John Calvin himself, John Calvin wasn't trying to turn his hearers into one of those churches, okay? So John Calvin himself said, why do we lift our hands if not to lift our hearts? You lift your hands and maybe your hearts will follow. What Kent says all the time is that it is easier to behave our way to new feelings than it is to feel our way to a new behavior. So you lift your hands and then maybe your heart will come around. Okay, so we can think, well, I really am worried about what other people think, so I'm not going to lift my hands. Or we can think, my posture doesn't matter, and posture does matter. It does matter because it affects our mind, our hearts. Third, we can think, well, I would be a hypocrite if I make myself do this when I don't want to do this. Okay. So are you a hypocrite when you go to work when you don't want to go to work? Does that make you a hypocrite? When your kids are crying at night and you got to get up with them, are you a hypocrite when you get up and feed them when you don't want to do that? Are you a hypocrite when you work out when you don't want to work out? Are you a hypocrite when you do your devotions when you'd rather be asleep? No. You're not a hypocrite. You're doing stuff that's hard because you have a bigger, better goal in mind. So we read, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. So we're not trying to say, now how high do you have to lift your hands? Is this high enough? Is this high enough? One hand, two hands? Like, we're not trying to be legalists about it. What we're saying is, posture matters because our heart follows our posture. So think of the alternatives, though. Like, so if this is kind of how you worship, if you weren't you and this is what you saw, what would you think? You know, I mean, you know about body language. What does this communicate as body language? Closed. I mean, maybe judgmental. Maybe like I'm evaluating and I'm finding them wanting. You know, maybe it's closed off of like self-protection. Yeah. What did you say? I mean, I kind of heard defiant. Yeah, like I'm not doing that. Maybe hiding. Maybe ashamed. Like, there is a time for critical thinking. I never want to tell you there is not a time for critical thinking. There's also a time to lift your hands and bless the Lord. Sometimes we come in, and we come in, I mean, like, oh, and we kind of, like, we're just, because we're burdened. Some of us are burdened. We're burdened with the stuff we've been carrying all week long. Hey, man, what kind of burdens do you carry all week long? You carry stuff at work all week long. You carry stuff with the family all week long. You carry stuff with your health all week long, with their health all week long. You carry it all week long. And you come in here, and like with them, man, they carried stuff all the way up the hill. Remember, they sang this song, the Song of Ascents. So they sang these songs all the way up the mountain of Jerusalem until they got to the temple, and then they worshiped the Lord. And you're like, you carried that all the way up here. Now here's what you got to do. You got to set it down. You got to lift your hands, and you got to bless God. Hey, man, I prayed in the beginning that some of you just be unburdened today. That you be freed today. You just set it down, so you lift your hands, and you bless God. Some of us, we come in here with clenched fists. Just, you know, you have tightness in your chest. You can see the veins in your arms. You just have tense. Is it anger? Why are your fists clenched? Is it anger? Is it anxiety? Why are your fists clenched? What you can do is you can open your hands. You can lift your arms. You can bless God. Just for a little while. Open your hands. Lift your hands. Bless God. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, who made heaven and earth. God blesses us, so we bless God. Number one, because we're made for this. How do we do this? Number two, by lifting our hands, praising the Lord, by kneeling and praising the Lord. So think about your posture. Number three, why do we do this? Back to why, a third why. Well, because This is a happy ending that points forward to the happy ending. Hey, do you remember where the Psalms of Ascent started? If you look back at Psalm 120 with me, so flipping your Bibles back to Psalm 120. Psalm 120 starts with a Psalm of Ascents, verse 1. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done for you? A deceitful tongue, a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of a broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech. Remember, I showed you the map. I showed you how far away Meshech was. That I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Remember the map? I showed you how far away Kedar was. Too long I've had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Like, it starts with all this angst, all this anxiety, all this anger of like, I can't stay here. I have to change. Things have to change. They can't stay the same. We must change. Like, it starts with this angst, and it moves on this pilgrimage of repentance and discipleship, and it ends with a happy ending of bless the Lord. Because the Lord has blessed us. This is a happy ending, and it points forward to the happy ending. The happy ending that Jesus made possible when he ascended Mount Zion and went up, and the worst of all possible things happened to him as he was betrayed by one of his inner circle and then handed over to the Jewish leaders, who then handed him over and betrayed him to the Romans. And as that happened, remember what he did? He blessed God by stretching out his hands. And as he's tortured to death, at the end of it, he cries out a blessing to God. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. You were made to bless God. Bless the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you went first and blessed us and showed us how to bless you. Lord, receive our tithes and our offerings. Receive our praise and our thanksgiving. Receive our obedient lives. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.